The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For reasons not quite clear to me as I was working on my sermon this week, a story I used to read to my kids came to mind. It went something like this. Once there was a boy who walked on his hands. He was such a happy boy. He loved nature. He was always in a state of wonder at the green of the grass and the bright yellow of the dandelions, which seemed to be able to grow anywhere. Hummingbirds and butterflies tickled his feet and the top of his upside down self as they zipped by. He loved God and he loved people and he loved the creatures God sent to play with him. The boy was so happy, but his parents were worried. Why couldn't this boy walk like other boys do on their feet? If he didn't stop walking on his hands, he couldn't play baseball or football. He wouldn't have play dates. He was different. He was a problem. They went to talk to his guidance counselor and his teacher. They took him to a therapist and to a physical therapist. They went for family counseling. Slowly, the boy learned to walk upright, just like everyone else. His parents were so relieved and thankful. He was no longer different. He was fixed and just like them. They thought they had saved him. But there was one problem. The boy wasn't happy anymore. Insecurity and anxiety and depression were his constant companions. His sense of self-worth, his joy and beauty, and a joy and beauty in creation, and even his love of God went out of his life. His parents had taken away his uniqueness, and along with it, his sense of wonder. As we begin this season of Lent, I think I was thinking of the story because I strongly identify with that boy. I, too, was always different, and my parents did their very best to save me. I wonder if some of you have some version of this story in your lives as well. I wonder, for those of us who do, when it was that the serpent first whispered in your ear that you were different, that the unique person God made you to be was not okay, not enough. Was it from the very beginning, or maybe in middle school? Or did the serpent wear the face of the advertisers on television or the influencers on social media? Heaven forbid, might it even have been in church when you were told how sinful you are? Did you buy the world's God-free information so that, like the fixed boy, you too live with insecurity and anxiety and depression as your constant companions? These last few years have been a hard season for many of us for many reasons. And surely they have deepened any insecurities we might carry with us. And now, as we begin Lent and enter the wilderness with Jesus, I have to admit, I do not feel full of the Holy Spirit. I feel full of anxiety and fear. And the wilderness would not be my first choice of the place to go for 40 days to get away from it all. The Bahamas, sign me up. The wilderness is an uncomfortable place, after all, a wild place, a waiting place, blazing hot in the daytime, bitterly cold at night. It's a place in which nothing is certain or stable, just like the world around us at the moment. This year, it seems as though the whole world is being tested. Will we say yes to the earthly ways of the world which claim to save us? Or will we respond with faithfulness to Jesus, our true Savior? And we're reminded today that Jesus himself did not escape his own 40 days, that time of trial in the wilderness. After his baptism, he was led there by the Spirit, where he was tested by the Spirit, the tempter who wanted to test Jesus' divine power and make Jesus over in his own image. "Turn these stones into bread," the tempter said. "Satisfy your hunger and the world's. You'll eliminate starvation and malnutrition around the globe. You'll be rich and famous. You can do it. Why not?" Jesus refuses. "I am not a magician," he says. "My calling is not about my own fame. I know the human hunger for meaning, and that hunger will not be satisfied by bread alone. Only God can fill human emptiness." "Okay then, Jesus, how about this? Take a freefall jump from the top of the temple and call in the angels to save you. You'll be in the headlines for days. Man jumps and is unhurt. Why not? Give it a go." Again, Jesus refuses. "God's power isn't mine to use for my own benefit. It's not about my self-preservation. God's power is for self-giving." "Okay then, Jesus," the tempter tries one last time. "How about taking control of all the kingdoms of this world? All you have to do in return is worship me. You can do it. Why not?" Again, Jesus refuses. "I'm not interested in exerting power over anyone," he says. "I serve. I don't try to control. And the one I serve is God, the God of love. You and I aren't so good at resisting the tempter and his temptations, be they big or small. We are human and sinful, after all. Insecure, faithful, fearful, and vulnerable. To save ourselves as best we think we can, too often we yield to the tempter and end up, as St. Paul says in another place, doing the very thing we don't want to do. We are people who, out of our insecurities and sinfulness and greed, turn stones into bread for our own fame and fortune. We will do almost anything for our own self-preservation, including refusing to restrict gun laws. We are people who want, above all, to be in control all the time. We can so easily be lured away from God and into following a much more comfortable Messiah than Jesus, one who promises to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise, and will take us to a much happier, less painful place. This season of Lent is a time to step back and wonder, to wonder about all the kinds of misinformation that have led us into insecurity and temptation, not just from the stories of our own beginnings, but from the story of the beginning of God's story, where all of it began. For we know that from that beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, and the serpent and the serpent's temptations have been part of the tale of God's creatures vying with God for control of the truth, of ourselves, of other people, and of the world. That serpent and those temptations are surely still with us today. As individuals, we always think, don't we, that we can tell good from evil? We turn God into a magician. We take on the role of God ourselves. We turn people who are different into our enemies. Even as a nation, we are tempted to let our wealth and our power, our prestige and our influence define not just who we are, but how others should be, thinking we are saving them by taking away their uniqueness. God's story, our collective story, and my story are inseparably woven together in the fabric of life. Today, we are cautioned that we need to be aware, because the story comes complete with an enclosed, tempting serpent who constantly blurs clear lines and tempts us to confuse which or who is God and God's truth. God, who is, after all, the main character in any story. Only one was able to resist such temptations, Jesus, God's Son. He saw that bread alone does not fill the empty places where the human heart and soul cry out for God. He knew that to be human is to be fragile, vulnerable, and mortal. He could see that finally all the temptations are about power, who uses it, and how it is used. He resists the tempter because he knows God's power is not stepping on others to get one's own way. God's power is for the empowering of the other in self-giving love, as Jesus did. God's power, that power of love, works through human weakness and insecurity and lack of control to strengthen and to give to those who walk in God's footsteps, true life. God's power never comes through guns and weaponry. It never hurts and kills. It is Jesus who helps us in our weakness, who teaches us to see ourselves and others with God's eyes, who teaches us to name our temptations, to understand them a little better, to ask forgiveness, and then to receive the forgiveness God offers. This is what Lent gives us an opportunity to do. So now, in case I've lost you, listen up. The power of Lent is not to deepen our sense of unworthiness. It is not to have us wallow in sin and guilt and shame. It is not to fill us with fear that we will be punished for being bad people. Sinful we may be, but bad we are not. God created us good. The point of Lent is to give us a chance to clear our interior prayer closets of the useless, destructive clutter and misinformation that leads us astray, away from God, so that we can make more space for the God who made us and for the love which God wants for us every day as God waits for us to come to God. God meets us with the open arms of forgiveness and mercy wherever we are. God, who through Christ, our true and only Savior, sets us free. Free from our fears, from our insecurities, from all that takes us away from Him, to make more room for faith and trust in Him. God is our most compassionate listener. We can bring all our goodness and sinfulness, all our strengths and our weaknesses, our frustrations and our angers, our griefs and our joys, the whole kit and caboodle to God, knowing, trusting that God is longing for us only to come closer. And no, it's not easy to face our ashy selves. This making space and facing up to ourselves can be painful. It might make us look less pretty than we think we are when we see ourselves in that mirror. But if we are willing, it will make us more real, more humble, and more compassionate. And it will definitely bring us closer to God. Lent allows us reflective time to declutter so God can fill us with love. And when we are God-soaked, whether we are social workers, teachers, therapists, relief workers, priests, well-meaning parents, or colleagues in business, if we are filled with God's mercy and love, we may be better able to recognize and say no to whatever distracts us and tempts us to run from God. We will be able to come closer to seeing Christ in others and letting God run others' lives because we don't need to. In Lent, remember God's steadfast love is stronger than any of your temptations, and it is this love that surrounds you. God made you you, like God made the upside-down boy. Made you to be the unique, weird, different, beautiful person that you are. So don't let anyone tell you you aren't enough. God doesn't want to change you or improve you or make you any different from who you are or just like anyone else. What God wants for all of us is just a closer walk with Jesus, in the words of the spiritual, and a sense of joy and wonder in each other and all God's works. So in these 40 days, may you acknowledge your temptations and receive God's merciful forgiveness. May you see the beauty and goodness of who you are, and the beauty of the world and all its people and creatures. And may you be able to see with the eyes of Christ, who turned the whole world upside down. Amen.